On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Overthrows, and the Red Blacks are Grey Cup champs. How's it going, everybody? Most likely, good Monday morning to you. I guess it's possible there's a couple of you late night people out there enjoying your Sunday evening. The streets of Ottawa, not exactly alive. The Ottawa Red Blacks win their first Grey Cup championship. The first CFL championship for the city itself in 40 years. Of course, the old Ottawa Rough Riders won a couple of championships in previous incarnations. Of course, the last several decades of that organization, not so good. The Ottawa Renegades came in, not so good. So two CFL teams have folded in this city since the last time they won a championship. Perhaps that's not surprising. If they were successful, they may not have had to fold. Red Blacks win it, 39-33. There's a couple of thoughts I had on this game, and that's mainly what I'm going to touch on here this evening. But I'm probably, for the most part, going to leave the technical side of the game itself alone. It was, well, honestly, it was fantastic. In terms of entertainment value, I don't know what else you possibly could have asked for. I really don't. Was it 2010 that was Montreal, Saskatchewan? That was a crazy game. With a big comeback, you remember the extra man on the field caused Saskatchewan to lose it. That was a really interesting game. But in terms of super entertaining football games, look, for the championship, the last Super Bowl I can remember, well, let's start with the Grey Cup. In terms of back and forth action like this being super entertaining, all kinds of plays being made, for me, probably 1996 is the last one that would really rival this. And I'm 13 at that point, right? So I'm watching the game a little differently than I am now. But I have seen that game several times before on those, you know, ESPN Classic Canadas and places like that. It's a classic game. There's been good Grey Cups since then. But one that you could easily say was better than tonight's? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You might have to go back that far. This one's fresh in people's memory, so there's a lot of superlatives being thrown around, but there are people putting this in the upper echelon of those greatest Grey Cup games of all time. 1989 would be another one. And in terms of the Super Bowl, there's been some good Super Bowls. I think back to, what was it, Steelers-Cardinals in maybe 08 or 09. There's been some good games, but one that would rival this championship game from the CFL, I probably have to go back to 07. It might actually be 08 now that I think about it. You all know the game if you're a football fan that I'm talking about, the Patriots and the Giants. David Tyree and that ridiculous catch. That was a hell of a Super Bowl. Back and forth. You know, what was it, 2 years ago? Tom Brady versus Seattle. That was a good game. The Patriots versus it came down to that crazy finish right at the end and all kinds of controversy over the play call. So those are the types of games that we're talking about, right? Some of the best football games of all time. And whether you're a CFL fan or not, this is always the most watched game of the season for obvious reasons. And a lot of casual, at best, Canadian football fans will tune in and watch it. And there's literally nothing else you could have wanted to see. There are people out there, and I'm going to have one of them on the show this week. Maddie's going to come on. He's not a CFL guy. He likes to rip the league. And I'm going to ask him, what did that not have? That's for a little later on. Like I said, that'll be on Tall Can Sports 97, which should drop on Tuesday if the schedule holds. But it had a little bit of everything. Lots of scoring, great passing plays, a big comeback, overtime. Great game. Great game. But not the perfect game. Certainly not. The MVP is Henry Burris. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. I can already hear some of you starting to tap away on your screens to tweet at me and tell me why I'm... You know, you people love doing that. Tell me why I'm wrong. And that's half the fun of these shows. At Tall Can Sports on Twitter, if you want to talk football, best place to send that. I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. I probably don't have Henry Burris as my MVP. He had a great first half. And if you were following along and enjoying the conversation with us on Twitter during the game, towards the end of the first half, really for the entire first half, after there being some doubt whether or not he was even going to play, he was gunning the ball in there. Some of those passes towards the end of the second half were fastballs that he was just firing in and daring his receivers to catch. I guarantee you there's some bruised palms. So he played really well. But he stalled in the second half. And I can remember thinking at halftime, and again, we talked about it on Twitter, and we talked about it in our preview show with Nate Sager. And it might have been him initially on that show who raised the point. The Red Blacks had a lot of really good first halves. And then the competition goes in. They look at what's happening and what you're doing. And they make adjustments. And they come out in the second half. And if they have figured out a way to get to you, it's now on you as a coaching staff and as an organization to counter them again. And the Red Blacks struggled with that throughout the season. Adjusting at half, having a secondary game plan, figuring out what your opponent is trying to do to you and adjusting again so that you can continue to roll in the second half. And it's hard. For sure, it's harder than it was in the first half. You show up with a great game plan. But after a half, they've seen it and they're going to figure out what to do against it. Right, so the Red Blacks go into halftime up 20-17, and I've seen this play before. I'm certainly happy with the start. It's not like I would have preferred them to have been trailing. Right, they had a great first half, up 20-7, I think. So they come out in the second half, and I'm going, okay, let's see. I want to see something here early. Well, did they not march straight down the field on their first drive of the second half and score a touchdown? Well, now it's 27-7, and you've showed that you're going to continue to move here in the second half, and I'm feeling pretty good. It looks like they've probably got this under control. Oh, how that would turn out not to be the case. But my point on Henry Burris is that from then on, the Ottawa offense was just ground to a halt for a long chunks of the second half. And I'm not saying that's entirely on him. You know, like we just talked about, Calgary would have went in, their defense would have looked at it and said, okay, here's the adjustments we got to make. And I would by no means, like, he put himself into the history books tonight as being throwing the fourth most yards of any quarterback ever in 104 Grey Cups. It's pretty good. Went over 400 yards. It's not bad, right? So I'm certainly not saying that he didn't have a good game or that he was bad. I would never say that. But MVP? How about Hightower? A couple of picks and a huge play late to keep, wasn't a pick, but a knockdown pass. That might have been those are huge impact plays. Ernest Jackson scoring the game-winning touchdown, had a couple of really big plays, recovered a fumble, off of one of his own teammates. That would have been, I didn't think it was as clear-cut. I felt like it was a little contrived, right? This whole thing was built up around old man Burris and this chip on his shoulder that no one gives him respect, and I don't really feel that either. Look, there's one TV network that devotes itself to the CFL over the course of the summer, and there's only 9 teams. So you get talked about. And Burris was upset over the course of the season, for those of you who don't know, with the coverage TSN gave. Well, you know what? He didn't have, like, not all his games were great. And I think at times they were a little unfair, but they're a little unfair to everyone. When you cover the NFL, there's 32 teams. We're going to talk about you today, and then we're going to move on to somewhere else tomorrow. And by the time this is, we're not going to maybe get to everybody, at least not that in depth. And then next weekend, something else will happen. Well, that doesn't happen in the CFL. And I think he's a little oversensitive to it, to be honest with you. I really like him. I like Smiling Hank. He's a hell of a player, had a hell of a career. And he's one of the really, you can tell, he's just one of the good guys. But this whole narrative about everybody being out to get him and no one respecting him was garbage. It was so overblown. And it was an attempt to try and pile on this underdog narrative. And they were the underdog. Calgary is the better team. But this was overblown. And it allowed TSN to be the center of one of their own stories, really. We can talk on TSN about, is TSN being unfair to Henry Burris? How do you think that's going to go? Right. So that was a little overstated. And I felt like at the whole end of the day, to give him MVP was just kind of like, hey, look, you did it, bud. Good for you. So, just my opinion, obviously. But I think you could have found probably a better option. If nothing else, it wasn't as clear-cut as people were trying to make it out to be. And also, I think the best Canadian, most valuable Canadian is in the Grey Cup game is a ridiculous award, and it's patronizing, and it's, Brad Sinopoli had a very good game, but it's just the way that the Canadian Football League is set up right now, and they force you to carry a certain amount of Canadians, and they're usually put in positions to be not particularly impactful so that they can go and get Americans to play those high important positions, right? Some of your big receivers and your quarterback and your running back and whatever, and we'll have a couple of Canadian linemen or something. So that's usually overstated, and I didn't obviously have a problem with Sinopoli getting it, but I just think it's completely unnecessary. Let's talk a little bit about the other side, Bo Levi Mitchell. I was not impressed with him at all today, and it really didn't have very much to do with how he was playing. In the first half, he wasn't very good. In the second half, he looked a lot more like himself, but he was being a douchebag. There's two plays, I believe it's both of them in the second quarter, where he overthrows his receiver by like 10 yards. It's not close. And then on the next play, a receiver doesn't make a play, and now he's looking over at the bench, looking over at the sideline, shrugging his shoulders like, well, what can I do? Like, it's not me. He didn't catch it. Yeah, what about the two before that, Dick? Like, the way the offense was running, and I say Dick, that's a little strong, because I didn't know, I knew a lot about him as a player. I like watching him play. He's very good, but I hadn't seen many interviews with him. And I saw him interviewed at halftime in this game, and I saw him interviewed right after the game when they had lost. And I kind of dug his vibe. I kind of liked him. But he was being an asshole on the field. So he's looking to the bench, trying to deflect that he's not responsible for this. He absolutely was as responsible as anyone for the offense sputtering the way it did in the first half. He was not good. Early in the second half, he throws a pass to a receiver. And again, this is on the receiver to not catch it. And I get that Mitchell at this point is frustrated and it's not going his way. But he kind of puts his arms out and like lifts like with palms up, right? Like, come on. Like, he's showing up as receiver. It's not the time, right? Like, you're in the championship game. You got to get shit going and you're trying to show up your teammates. I didn't like a lot of what he was bringing in this game. And I felt like he was coming off like a bit of a prima donna. And I don't get the feeling, some of you Stampeder fans that, you know, see him interviewed and what watch him play more often than I do, I'm sure would tell me that's not him. And I would believe that based on what little I do know of him and the times that I have seen him speak. I thought the way he handled the media after the game was pretty good. It's a tough situation to have to be, you know, expected to come out and face the cameras after you just lost in overtime, a heartbreaker. But I thought that looked bad on him. He's getting ripped a little bit right now after the game because one of his quotes to the media, for people who didn't watch the game, I can't imagine any of you watched a lot of the game and left this close to the end. Calgary's driving to try and take they're down by three. They can kick the field goal to tie it, but they've got victory on their minds and they've got time and they're on like the 2-yard line and they bring in their backup, Buckley. And he has typically been brought in for the short yard play, right? You don't want to get your star quarterback hurt. So he comes in for the quarterback sneak, right? He comes in to take those physical dives across the goal line. And that's clearly what he's supposed to be there to do. But on second down, they have him drop back to pass and he kind of rolls out. Someone gets a hand on like his ankle and pulls him down. And now they have to kick the field goal. Well, if he's in there, he needs to be trying to run it. And despite the fact that that might be a little predictable, if you're going to pass, it should be Mitchell. Bo Levi Mitchell's got to be in there to make that pass. Or you're handing it off to Jerome Messam. So in the post-game interview, Bo Levi Mitchell says, and this is one of those things where it gets, well, he says, on that play, the ball's got to be in my hands or in Messam's hands. So you could make the argument that he's, again, showing up a teammate a little bit, but he is the starting quarterback all year. And he's not just any starting quarterback. He's probably the best one in the league right now. I know I asked Nate Sager about that on the preview show earlier this week, for those of you who caught it, and he threw out one or two other names, but said that Mitchell would be right there in the conversation. For me, he's the best. So there's a certain amount of understanding that it's not like me and another guy and we go back and forth and whatever. He's saying, you rode me all year, and when it came time to drop back and make a big pass, you went with someone else. And so, like I said, his quote is, in that situation, the ball's got to be in my hands or Messam's hands. I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. Well, you know what? That's an honest answer. That's how he feels. And he's kind of getting ripped a bit now. And that's why these player interviews are usually a waste of time. They say nothing because they don't want to get ripped, or they give you an honest answer, and then everybody's like, oh, look at this fucking guy. And I guess, in a way, I'm kind of one of them. I respect that answer. I think he's right. I don't respect the bullshit on the field, showing up teammates and, you know, looking at the coaching staff like, hey, it's not my fault, right? It is your fault. But so that's interesting, too. Calgary was the best team in the league by far this year. and they didn't get it done. It was a really interesting game. And next year, the game moves on to Ottawa, 2017. I'm sure the Red Blacks have designs of being in on it again. It'll be interesting to see if Burris sticks around. He's 41 years old. He becomes the oldest, I believe he became the oldest quarterback to win a Grey Cup. The other thing I wanted to touch on was this game going to overtime. Sorry, I'm just taking a quick look at my notes here as we go, and I had misplaced them. My phone was acting up on me. I don't know any other sport, where you get to your championship game and you have a dramatic game like that and you're heading for overtime and you have to stop and explain the rules. CFL overtime, even if you believe that they have it right now, is a mess. They've changed it a couple of times. It gets tweaked in the off season. And now here you are with your biggest audience yet. And I got a couple of texts from people who are anything but hardcore football fans, but who sit down and watch the championship going, hey, they just scored a touchdown. Why is the other team coming out? And I know some of you who are football fans are kind of, you know, maybe laughing a bit and go, well, you know, it's not a stupid question. If you watch basketball, you know we're going to play another quarter, right? Whoever's winning at the end of that quarter is going to win the game. And if it's tied, we'll keep going. Soccer, we're going to play a bit on here and then we're going to go to penalty kicks. Hockey, it's not quite as confusing, but some of the time we're going to throw three guys out there and they're going to play for a couple minutes and then they'll have a shootout. You know, as I run through this, it is just as stupid. But if someone scores, the game's over in overtime, right? And in the playoffs, we'll go 5-on-5 and it's the same thing. In the CFL, okay, so you're going to go out and if you score a field goal and then the other team comes out and they score a field goal, we go again. But if you score a field goal and they come out and score a touchdown, then it's over and they win. But if you throw a pass on your first possession and the defense takes it all the way back and they win right away and you don't get a chance to match that. And we also play two of these mini games and then we'll go again, we'll switch ends and what the fuck are you doing? I've been watching the CFL for a very long time. And even I find myself sitting back and scratching my head going, okay, if they don't make this one, okay, yeah, now we're on to the, and I figure it out, right? But if you are counting on the fact that this is going to be by far your most watched game of the year and it gets to overtime, meaning it's been an awesome game, do you really want your fans to have no idea what's happening? That's not on them. You're trying to convert them to become CFL fans. And in the biggest moment of the season, you have to explain the rules to them, even though they've been watching a game and have a basic understanding of the rules. Well, we're changing them now. Okay. So no one's kicking off. We're just going to start here on the 35, and you're going to try and score, and then they're going to try and score more points, but sometimes they... Fuck. Big graphic of, 12 lines of different rules on the... The referee's explaining the rules to the players. Did you catch that before the coin toss? Man. And I'm not suggesting they change them. I'm not, because then you're back to square one. But if this is it, if this is what you like, leave it alone. Don't tinker with it every offseason. Give yourself a chance for your fans or the people you want to drag into becoming fans in moments like this to figure it out. Stop dicking with it. So. That was kind of frustrating. We're in the middle of a huge game. And you sit back and you know that, you know, even some of the players apparently don't know what's up. And half the people in the building maybe don't know what's up. And they called the game they didn't call it a sellout. They said it was capacity at 33,000. It's a good crowd for the BMO field. They can't call it a sellout because half of those not half. A lot of those tickets were given away. Little contests or just handed out to make sure the building was full when they realized they weren't going to sell them all. Which is a piss off, obviously, to anyone who paid for them and now finds themselves sitting at the game beside someone who got in free. I would be very surprised if any of that happens in Ottawa next year. They are doing quite well as a franchise. I mean, seriously, in 3 years, you built a championship team. And they could have. They didn't. And I'm not saying they should have or they were robbed or anything, but they could have won it last year. Second year in existence winning a championship or being in the championship game. I have a feeling Ottawa's going to sell that out. Just like Saskatchewan does well and Winnipeg does well and whatever. It was a tough sell in Toronto. And we talked about that on the preview show. One last thing to get to before I do, I suppose, jump on your Score app. Most of you who are sports fans have it. It's, you know, widely known as probably the biggest sports app that there is. Head on to the CFL tab. You can catch all of Nate Sager's coverage of he was there at the game in the auxiliary press box. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll get a kick out of what that looked like. But you can find his stuff on there. And I'll link to his follow. I'll link to his write-up on the game in the show notes for this. So if you head to tallcanaudio.com and go to the Unforced Errors page, obviously for this show, we'll link to Nate's article in that. And we'll probably throw it up on our Facebook and whatever else. But that's a good read as well. I gave it a quick scan before I jumped on here. And Nate, obviously, more than maybe anyone I know, knows his CFL. He wouldn't have been wondering what the overtime rules are. He knows what's up. I've totally run myself right off the end of the... I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, that's probably good enough. We can wrap this up. Like I said, I've got this little notepad up on my phone, and it's died. And now my phone, like, the battery's not dead, but it's just crashed on me. And so I'm struggling to remember everything that was supposed to look at kind of how the sausage gets made here in the Tall Can Audio studio. So best tweet I saw at the end of the night was a guy putting out, his wife told him after watching the game with him, if Henry Burris is 41 years old and going and winning a Grey Cup on a busted knee, he can go and put up the Christmas lights at 39 years old. He says, put afterwards, like, I just hope she doesn't find out about Yager at 45 years old. So that's probably going to wrap it up for Unforced Errors number 26. A quick look back at the Grey Cup 2016. Like I said, we're looking to, probably on Tuesday, have Maddie Lang on an all-new Tall Can Sports. That'll be Tall Can Sports number 97. We'll check in on the Raptors. He's our resident NBA guy. And I want to hear what he thought. He watched the game when he normally doesn't, this Grey Cup game I'm referring to, and just find out what the fuck his problem is when it comes to the CFL. Why has he got so much hate in his heart for Canadian football? So look for that coming down this week with, of course, lots of other stuff as we move forward into the holiday season. We'll try and get a new Audio Whiplash up. We will be also seeing they're going to unveil the training camp roster this week for World Juniors. So that's not the team roster, but the guys that will be invited to be taking a look at it. Most of you know they've, in recent years, started bringing a smaller group. Instead of having like 50 guys in camp and having a pile of cuts, you know, they bring in a much smaller group. Pretty good idea of who they're going to take, but with a couple of guys with a shot at it. And it seems to have been a better approach, to be honest with you. But that is also supposed to drop this week, so you know we're big fans of the CF... of the World Juniors around here, so I'm sure there'll be coverage on that and much more also on the Tall Can Audio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TallCanAudio, and visit TallCanAudio.com to check out all the archives, all your favorite co-hosts on this show, all kinds of topics, anything you want. You can also find links to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music. That's all right there at the top of the homepage. Make it nice and easy for you to find what you're looking for. That's going to do it for Unforced Errors number 26. Thanks for listening. My name's Matt Robinson, and we'll see you later in the week.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.